You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Mark DeRozan's daughter made the trip to Miami.
Oh.
This might not have happened.
No.
Let her come to Miami.
We had to go to school. Guess what? A Friday in April doesn't matter.
Today's guests, seven-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady, Browns wide receiver Elijah Moore, Packers offensive tackle David Bakhtiari, from Peacock shooting stars, actor Wood Harris. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show, where I'm not the only Michigan man on it. Yes. Thomas Edward Brady is going to be joining us in 20 minutes' time right here on this program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Roku channel, Sirius XM, Odyssey, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have us. We always appreciate our relationship with Westwood One. Cumulus Podcast Network puts out our show all 3 hours every day on our podcast network, where you can get any darn podcast you want, including ours. We also ask for your subscription there, as well as hit us with a subscribe or a follow on our YouTube page or our Rich Eisen Show, at Rich Eisen Show, Twitter handle, Facebook, TikTok. Yeah, we're saying hello to all the TikTokers and all the fellow youths out there who take in our program every single day here on this very busy Thursday. First day of June, everybody. This is the month where we're going to see the Larry O'Brien trophy handed out, the Stanley Cup trophy handed out. The NBA draft is this month. The final OTAs of the NFL off-season workout programs is this month. The Major League Baseball season enters its third month. This month, we say hello to you, Chris Brockman, over there. How are you here on the first day of June?
Great. It's nice to have a fellow goat on the show.
NBA Finals kicks off tonight. How are you, Mike Del Tufo? What's up, brother? How are you over there?
I'm sitting next to a goat. All right. I'm here. I'm fine.
So you're upset that he referred to himself as a fellow goat and in terms of Tom Brady joining us, and you're upset?
He's a goat.
Thanks, Mike.
TJ's a goat.
TJ Jefferson, are you wearing that hat in honor of Elijah Moore joining us from the Cleveland Browns? Because it's a very Browns-looking look that you got going on with that hat of yours.
Not in the league. I even know he was on the show till about half an hour ago, to be honest.
It does match your shoelace.
I got an ODB shirt on today.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Brooklyn Zoo. Shame on you. Shout out to the Wu-Tang Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was just the orange, you know.
Okay. Or it could be Cincinnati, and ODB could stand for Old Dirty Bengal.
Oh, Old Dirty Burrow. Let's go.
Old Dirty Burrow.
Old Dirty Burrow.
Except he's not old and he's not dirty, but he's Burrow.
Well, neither was ODB.
That's funny.
NBA Finals tips off tonight, gents.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Anybody watching?
I'm watching. You're watching. Tell me you're not watching the NBA Finals because the Celtics are out.
I don't know.
Ridiculous.
Bro, I'm telling you, it's going to be so much more pleasurable to watch without that feeling of all over you. You just be able to watch basketball. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun. I don't like watching the Heat play.
Well, they bounced the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what this series is all about. I'm going to put it on one guy. How does this sound? I'm going to put it on one guy on the Miami Heat. That's what I'm going to put it on.
Kevin Love?
I am not putting it on Kevin Love. I'm not putting it on Cody Zeller. I'm not putting it on Caleb Martin. I'm not putting it on Kyle Lowry. I'm not putting it on Gabe Vincent. I'm not even putting it on Jimmy Butler.
Oh, Duncan Robinson.
I'm not putting it on a fellow Michigan man in Duncan Robinson either. I am putting it on a guy who thought he should have been Defensive Player of the Year last year instead of your Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
I'm putting it on a 25-year-old kid who has the monster task of trying to lock down Nikola Jokic. I'm going with Bam Adebayo. It's on this guy. It's on this guy. If you think you should be Defensive Player of the Year and everyone missed the boat, and you chimed in with Jimmy Butler when your team was 2-5 last October saying, we're going to win this whole thing, and you have an opportunity to win this whole thing, and I'm cleaning up what they said about winning this whole thing in that quote. If you think you're that guy, if you think you are him, well, guess what you've got there right in front of you? You have a unicorn playing at the zenith of his unlimited game in Jokic. And he is bringing the ball up. He is playing with his back to the basket. He is shooting threes with the off the wrong leg and rainbowing them in. He is distributing the basketball. He is rebounding the basketball. He is literally doing everything except selling popcorn in the stands. And you are the one who is in the starting five who is tall enough and big enough and gosh darn it, people like you down there in South Florida. And it's time for Bam Adebayo to show everybody, okay, I'll take 15. I got him. And I don't know who can do that. And I think it's very unfair for me to even place that on one person. I do believe Miami is going to have different defenses. That's what Eric Spoelstra does. He's going to try and surprise you. He's going to go with this defensive matchup. He'll go with that zone. He'll go with that man-to-man. He'll go with that pressure. He'll just keep on throwing kitchen sinks at the Denver Nuggets. And it's going to be obviously more than Bam Adebayo. I think you're going to see a lot of Cody Zeller in his mask. I think you're going to see a lot of Kevin Love. I think you're going to see 18 fouls used against Jokic. And I know it's also unfair to what the Nuggets do offensively with a host of people who can throw it in the hoop like it's the ocean. So I will just say, if Bam Adebayo says, I am a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, you missed the boat on me last year with Marcus Smart, I can do it better than anybody else as a big man in this game, well, this is the tallest order you got. And that's the way I'm kind of breaking down the NBA Finals before game one this evening.
I think serious answer for me, I want to see what the Heat bring tonight. Were they exhausted mentally and physically from a grueling 7-game series and what they've been doing this whole playoffs? As Doris Burke said earlier in the week, can they get to 110, 115 points and hope that Denver kind of misses some shots from outside and play with them? Can they run with them? What is Denver going to look like? Is Russ going to be a factor? They haven't played in 9 days.
And as Windhorse said yesterday, the Heat are
really
game
good in
one
game ones. Really good in
Mavens.
Game ones.
Yeah. Yes. They want. They
bet on them tonight, Chris.
You know, I think if the Heat want a chance in this series, this might be their best shot to win a game. Honestly, in this series is tonight. So I'm really curious to see how they come out.
Was that an answer as to whether he's betting on them tonight?
It was not.
Are you betting?
Are we going to bet on them tonight? Is the question
on Heat?
Yeah,
Heat money line might be a bit much. I might take the points.
How many of those?
Good question, Rich Eisen.
See, this is a mark of a man who's tapped out of the National Basketball Association because his team.
It's a lot.
Tapped out. Numbers on lot.
It's 8.5. It's a lot. Ooh. I knew it was a lot. I just wanted to be exact.
Yeah, they're going to have to score more than the 103 that they came up with in Boston.
Yeah, for sure.
And game one is what they took in Milwaukee and New York and Boston. And they got to take it in. Denver tonight.
Have to win tonight. That's a tough place to play.
You think?
Real tough place to play.
So that's tonight. We'll talk about this a little bit more and with you at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. We have not one, not two, but three National Football League guests on today from totally different parts of the spectrum. Elijah Moore of the Cleveland Browns, formerly of the Jets, he was, as we all know, a second-round choice three drafts ago out of Ole Miss, and in his first season, he and Zach Wilson were, you know, copacetic. They were peaches and cream. They were peaches and herb. They were just living together in harmony. And they were looking like a future combination for the New York Jets. And then last year happened. And Elijah Moore wanted out. And the Jets wouldn't let him out. And they tried their best to get him back in the mix. I don't know if he really saw the writing on the wall from jump, but it sure looked that way. And then the Cleveland Browns say, we'll take him for a second round pick. And the Jets were like, absolutely, because we would like one of those to send to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers when that trade finally happens.
That's funny.
I don't think I told a single tale out of school.
Oh, no, no, no.
And Elijah Moore is now in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson, and DeAndre Hopkins is in the mix right now, potentially for the Cleveland Browns. So we'll talk to Elijah Moore. Speaking of the Green Bay Packers, where Aaron Rodgers used to play and Randall Cobb used to play and Alan Lazard used to play and a lot of the BFFs for Aaron Rodgers used to play, and then there's one still there. David Bakhtiari, the left tackle of the Green Bay Packers, the man who protected Aaron Rodgers' blind side for so many years, a BFF of Aaron Rodgers. They would share golf cart rides together with Bakhtiari giving him that golf cart, Aaron. And Aaron's taking everybody. Who's coming with me? Sort of like a very Jerry Maguire type moment. And a lot of people went with him. And Mercedes Lewis is rumored to be the next one to go with him.
Still waiting.
But Bakhtiari's still there. And David Bakhtiari is somebody calling what they're doing in Green Bay a rebuild. And a lot of folks there in Wisconsin aren't using that word because that means there's no intention of winning. That's what rebuild normally means. We're rebuilding. Hey, fans, we're rebuilding. We're building back. That means we're not winning this year. You, as Los Angeles Rams season ticket holders, got a note from the team president this year. Correct, right?
That's right.
Our friend Kevin Demoff, talking about what's the state of the Rams. You said this reads like it's a rebuild. Hey, give you a heads up.
That's my interpretation.
That's how your interpretation of it was. And that word wasn't in there.
No.
Because to folks like you who are ready to buy tickets and then, of course, resell them when the Cowboys come to town.
Pittsburgh is here.
You know, or
for instance, good business, Mike.
Okay, very good. They want you to show up to whose house?
Rams house.
Yes, that's what you want. They want you to do. And Green Bay is definitely not saying this is a rebuilding year.
No.
I mean, they're saying Jordan Love is just going to be the next guy up who's not only going to help the Packers stay on a winning path, but maybe turn into yet another first ballot Hall of Famer. That's what they're used to doing right there. It's taking from one first ballot Hall of Famer to the next. Interesting enough, Bakhtiari is going the other direction, saying, no, we're rebuilding. Hmm. And it seems like what he's saying is if you don't call it a rebuild, it's offensive to Rodgers to not call it a rebuild. Because Aaron Rodgers is as great as they come. And if you're replacing with somebody who's never done it for a full season before, let alone only one start before, that's the way I'm taking it. And we'll play that soundbite for you next hour before Bakhtiari joins us top of hour number three. But our first football guest is what we would say an individual who's at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
Thomas Edward Brady joining us on this program.
Hey, now.
Let's go, by the way, is his phrase. Actually, that's the phrase of the new Hertz campaign as well that he is unveiling today.
Oh.
Courtesy of Hertz is how he will be joining us. And lots to talk about with him, from the Raiders' opportunity to be an owner and if that, in fact, means that that's what he intends to do and what his future is. And I'm obviously interested in talking about Aaron Rodgers with him, or at least I was. This was this morning at what we would call here in Los Angeles, California, the ass crack of dawn.
Yes.
And Brady zooming all over the place today, and he zooms with us. Next, Tom Brady on the Rich Eisen Show. His future in the National Football League, is it in ownership? And what does it, this is a me thing. Can Aaron Rodgers play till he's 45? What does he think of that? Ask him those questions next. We'll take a break. Your phone calls. The actor Wood Harris of the new film about LeBron James' AAU team that's on Peacock, which is available on Roku, called Shooting Stars. You may know Wood Harris from The Wire, Avon Barksdale. You may remember him as Left Side from Remember the Titans. Yeah, folks who see the movie Creed sees Wood Harris. Of course, he's also in Above the Rim back in the day as well with Tupac Shakur.
He was his right-hand man.
I mean, this is his... so he was Left Side in Remember the Titans and the right-hand man
of Tupac
and Above the Rim.
Birdie.
So much to talk about from pop culture and sports with Wood Harris when he comes in studio in hour number three. Let's take a break. Tom Brady, when we come back, if you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your phone calls at 844-204-RICH as well.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
5:30 Pacific. That's the ass crack of dawn.
Yes.
Right.
You weren't already awake,
huh?
Yeah, don't you normally get up at that time?
Usually around that. We have a white English golden rescue that wakes up like a rooster every day, somewhere around 5 a.m. Yep.
Clickety clack.
Oh gosh. Oh yeah. Yep. A little clickety clack and whatever. But today was just one of those, like, you know, you don't want to sleep through when Tom Brady's available. Right. So
you were so excited. You probably got up at 4, right?
No, so excited. I'm well, I'm excited for our program.
Yeah.
You know. So
not often you get a man with, you know, 6-7 championship rings.
And you also not often that a man just says, you know what, I'm going to have my hat match my shoelaces.
I mean,
that's a choice, right? What you got going on?
I mean, it didn't.
So why is it
accident.
White? Why is the other shoe white? Because I know you're trying to get a shoe deal out of the Rich Eisen show. I understand what you're up to over there.
You know, I just
what do you got?
Left one in an orange and one in a white. You know?
And that's a choice?
Yeah, it was a conscious choice.
How often do you change your shoelaces?
Not very.
Okay. You know when I change my shoelaces?
When they break?
Never. Break? What do you mean when they break?
Sometimes your laces break.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean,
TJ keeps his sneakers are impeccable.
They
come in a box. He changes them.
You can't even call those sneakers, those. Right?
I mean, you can't.
What do you call them?
They're just Jordans.
Okay.
He walks in with another pair. He's like Mr. Rogers.
I am like Mr. I do actually.
I laugh my ass off.
I got shoes I don't want to touch the ground, Rich, is all I'm saying.
Well, good to have you here, TJ. With your dunks and your shoelaces and all that stuff. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Tom Brady's got some new commercials from Hertz out, so he was making the rounds today, and he made the rounds with yours truly and I with him earlier today, and here's my conversation with the GOAT. He is none other than 7-time Super Bowl champ. And the most famous retiree in all of sports, I think. He is here courtesy of Hertz, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the great Tom Brady. How you doing, Tom?
Good, my man. Good seeing you always.
Good to see you too.
Always a pleasure. So I get to see you in different forms. Our first time speaking in true retirement. So
it's true.
Let's go. How is retirement? I follow, you know, I see what you're up to. You got a cat, you got vacations, you got a lot of stuff. What are you doing in vacation, Tom? I mean,
you know what?
In retirement.
It's interesting because I feel like right now, this is kind of what I'd be doing had I not retired. You know, it's still not really, you go through this off season, which all these players are going through right now. But I think for me, I don't think it really sets in, obviously, till the fall when guys are playing and I'm not. But at the same time, I know that this is the right time for me to, try something different, but, move on to other things and areas of growth that I'm here to experience that, had I continued to play, which obviously the sport's amazing and I'm going to continue to be involved in the sport and broadcasting and certainly in other ways, but it's never too far from me, because I love the sport. I love the game. I still follow it. I'm still reading all the news and transactions and trades and drafts and so forth and all the different teams that I've been a part of to follow them. So, but the actual playing part, I'm definitely tired of getting hit. There's no more of that. Probably my least favorite record is the amount of sacks that I've taken in my career. But now I'm getting to move on to some other things that, I'm certainly enjoying. And I think being a dad and being around and taking care of a cat, and I think we got more cats on the way. Unfortunately, I lost that bet.
All right.
Just continuing to enjoy these different parts of life. So some travel ahead. We got a summer plan, and then we'll see how things go in the fall.
Well, then, yeah, that's the drill. Is obviously there's not much to miss right now, other than an OTA maybe that you're required to be at. What do you think you're gonna miss the most, Tom?
I think Look, I think football, the best part about football is the relationships that you form and the memories that have been created. And I think it's not about winning. I never thought about winning Super Bowls and I never thought about that's what I'm here for. I just had the best time with my friends. I was out there throwing a ball in the yard with my buddies. And the fact that it was Mike Evans catching a ball and Chris Godwin and it was Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski. And I mean, can you imagine people paying you to drop back and throw passes to the best athletes in the world? I think for me, it was just a dream come true for all those years. And I think for me to be able to have that experience for as long as I did is an incredible blessing. It's why I wanted to continue playing. Cause in the end, I just felt like I was a high school kid just trying to go out there every day and earn my keep with my buddies. And we have a very physical element to our game, where there's a physical preparation involved that you really can't, skip. And I think that discipline over time, really helped me in different parts of my life. The physical discipline of training and, thinking about how to take care of my body and then also wanting my body to perform at a high level so that I could go out there on the field with my teammates and do a great job. I think all those things challenged me every day and every year to continue to be my best. And I was very fortunate to be a part of the most amazing teams over a long period of time. And I've got great memories and a few Super Bowl rings to kind of show and be proud of as I kind of move forward into the second phase of my life.
But how are you prepared to get that itch, Tom? You're going to get it. I mean, every guy I know who's retired got that itch once games are being played. And, you're not just any guy. You're a guy who's got the competitive spirit maybe more than any other football player I've ever seen. So yeah. You're going to get that itch. How are you going to handle that, do you think, Tom?
I think there's other competitive ways to kind of get those things out. I don't think that, I think I'll be competitive in other areas for sure.
Okay.
I will be. And I think that it doesn't necessarily need to be on a football field throwing footballs anymore. I mean, I can still do that. I'm just not going to do it competitively, in a way that, to be a part of an organization that way, because that's a huge commitment. And that commitment I don't take lightly. I don't think I ever took that commitment lightly. I thought I put 100% into everything. And I try to still put 100% into everything that I do. It just takes a little bit of a different shape or a little bit of a different direction. And you could see other areas where, I'm trying to contribute. And I think that I can be a part of different places and different organizations to help them be successful as well. And I think that's a big part of what my future looks like.
Is that the Raiders news that we're seeing, that you might, become a piece of ownership out there in Vegas, Tom?
Yeah, that's obviously very exciting for me. And I think we're just a little bit in the middle of that process right now, but obviously something that would be, a dream come true. And to be the third player in the history of the league to have, you know, an ownership interest in a team would be amazing. And I feel like, you know, if we can continue to kind of progress with this and it gets all the approvals and so forth, it would be something that would really be pretty cool from a kid from just San Mateo, California, that grew up on Portola Drive and was throwing out cuts at fire hydrants, you know, and then, you know, to be a part of the NFL in that type of way and to really be a steward of the game. And I think if there's something that I really feel strongly about is I, you know, yeah, position is, let's say it is more of an ownership role, but it just allows me to have an impact in the game. And I'm going to do that in broadcasting as well, but I love the sport. I think it brings out the best in all of us. I think that competition, I think that teamwork, camaraderie, determination, discipline, perseverance, overcoming adversity, all these different things have shaped me and molded me into the person that I am. And I see it do with so many others. And, you know, I think just being a part of that, and it's been a part of my life in the past, but also going forward in the future is, you know, it's a fun thing for me. It's a fun thing for you, I'm sure. You see that in all the different people that you've been a part of. And you don't go in there to your job and your career and say, all right, this is what you get to embrace this team aspect and this cultural aspect that people want to be a part of. And when you create that, I think it brings so much to our life because we get to go out there and play a role of something that we really enjoy.
Seven-time Super Bowl champ Tom Brady here, courtesy of Hertz, which we'll talk about in a second. Let me ask you, I guess, a pundit-type question, Tom, and that's one of the many reasons why, you know, you're going to be so set up to be good at this. I mean, because you can come at it from so many different angles. The drafty overlooked, somebody who snuck up on people and then became an all-time great, as well as somebody who went deep into your 40s so successfully. So Aaron Rodgers is now age 39, new spot, new team, something that you're familiar with, right around the same age as well.
Yeah.
How do you think he can keep it going to perform into his mid-40s as well as you did, set up knowing him as you do and knowing his potentially his regimen as well as you might? How do you think he might perform deep into his 40s, Tom?
I think he's going to do a great job. I mean, he's a tremendous player, great competitor. And I think this kind of breathes a lot of fresh air and invigoration into, you know, going to a different team and wanting to prove yourself all over again. And I think we all have that spirit about us that, you know, when we started off in the NFL, you know, we had something to prove. We wanted to go out there and the team that drafted us, you know, God, there was a lot of freshness to it and you took it and you really attacked it. And I see that with him too, you know, being a part of being in New York and there's a lot of expectation there and there's a lot of eyes and there's a lot of media. And I think he's going to go out there and he's going to do a great job. And that division is very competitive with Buffalo, with the Jets. I think Miami's a talented team. And obviously New England, you know, with the amazing culture that they've built over a long period of time. So Aaron's tremendous player, tremendous passer of the football. I've always kind of watched him and studied his mechanics and how he goes about things. But I think he's going to do a great job. And he's got a lot of talented players there too. A lot of young players that have a lot of speed, quickness. And I think when you look back at probably his most productive years, and he's had a lot of them, you know, he's had great receivers. And those receivers, we all need great receivers as quarterbacks to be productive and prolific. And I think he's got a great opportunity to do that in New York.
And so does he follow your system? Have you had conversations with him about TB12 and about how what he can do to play into his 40s, not just be maybe one and done in New York? Have you had these conversations at all?
I've had more conversations with you about TB12 and getting you to your run, Rich, run.
Yes,
a little
okay.
bit faster, because we got to break some 40 speed. I mean, we can't keep declining. That's bullshit. I mean, I keep seeing you get slower and slower. And I'm like, what the? Going on, like, let's turn this up, let's train a little bit differently. I'm gonna get those muscles pliable. We're gonna get those feet to turn over. I mean, look, I was never the swiftest or fleetest of foot, but I didn't lose much over time, and I think that we can get you back to
maybe a PR next year. I don't know, it might be your fastest, but it's going to be improved from the last few years.
No, and I know we have had these, you know, conversations, but I'm officially accepting. I'm in, you know, and, you know, my wife is maybe more excited about this than I am. I don't want to let you down. So that's part. I guess I don't know how it feels to be a teammate of yours, Tom, that I don't want to let you down. But so we're in. I'll go on the system or whatever you want to suggest, and we'll see how it goes for next year's charity run. It's number 20 for me, you know.
Amazing.
So I accept. Amazing. This is going to happen. We're going to do this, Tom.
Let's do it. Let's do it. And I think it's cool that you've done that for all those years, you know, brought a lot of awareness to it's St. Jude's, right?
Yes, it is.
So you brought a lot of awareness to them. I mean, there's a lot of people that need help in the world. And I think for you to do your part and have other people contribute to that, that in the end, that's what it's all about, giving back to the greater good. And
right.
The people that are able to do that in a big way with a platform like you have, I'd love to be a part of it too. So I'm all in too.
All right, Tom. Sounds good. What are you doing with Hertz? I saw the two commercials that are coming out today. So I give you the floor on that, Tom.
Yeah, I've worked with them for a few years now. They have an incredible leadership team, great group of people that have developed a great culture. It's one of the iconic brands in our country. And I've been a longtime customer, and they came to me a few years ago. They told me what they were doing from an environmental perspective, and they were turning over their fleet of cars and making them more sustainable. And they have the largest fleet of EVs, including Teslas, Polestars. And, you know, that's who I've used. And I think that it's a great business. It's a great company. And I believe in what they're doing. I thought we've done some cool things from a content perspective. We've had a little fun. Our last campaign was basically very comedic. There were lots of fun takes on different things that probably we've all seen and been associated with. So I think people are going to like it as the campaign rolls out here over the next 6 months or so.
Okay. And everybody should check out your new commercials for Hertz. And so the next time, Tom, we see you with football would be, are you going to the Patriots opener? Is that because I know Bob Kraft said along the lines of that you're going?
Yeah, I'll be there for the opener. He invited me. It's very cool. He and I have had a lot of meaningful conversations over the last 2 or 3 months on different subjects. And he's been a great mentor of mine. You know, he's seen me go through a lot of things in my life and my career the last 23 years. And, you know, he said, look, I'd love for you to come back and for us to do something special for you and kind of retire the right way. And I was very accepting of that, as I've always been. I love the Patriots. It's an amazing organization. I have so many friends and relationships and memories. My kids were born in Boston. And just to go back there to see the fans and kind of wish them, you know, I know they play the Eagles in the season opener, which is going to be a tough game because the Eagles are pretty good. And we haven't always had the best history with the Eagles and the Patriots. So maybe if I could bring a little bit of luck, the Patriots could get off to a good start in the season. But it's going to be pretty tough because the Eagles are a damn good football team.
Well, Tom, I appreciate the time here. You've always been terrific to me, my show, and, you know, NFL Network turns 20 this fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, our first two Super Bowls were your second and third championships, which is still to date the only back-to-backs that the league has seen this century. So,
yeah.
I've been thrilled to have a front row seat, and I look forward to more, including next year's run, Tom. We're in. This is it.
Next year's run.
You take care. You take care. Have a great time. And that's Tom Brady, courtesy of Hertz, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Okay. So many things that jump out from this conversation. One, he's done. And, you know, I know he said to another outlet today that asked him point blank, what do you say to those who are in the media concocting stories?
I feel
you know that he's coming back. If that was in any way, shape, or form in reference to us, again, I came back from the combine being told, keep an eye out for a guy who's keeping his options open. And having spoken to Tom today, and, you know, obviously we have had some communication, before then, you know what this reminds me of? When I went down the road to tape with Kobe after he had retired and LeBron came back. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'd been out for a year and LeBron comes back and everyone's saying, hey, maybe Kobe's going to come back.
And remember, he held up, you know, zero.
Yep.
There's a 0% yeah. chance of that. And yeah. And so he took offense to what Brady also just, he didn't sound offended, but he did voice the same thing that Kobe did, which is like, there's other things for me to achieve greatness in.
Yeah.
And for Kobe, it was going for the EGOT, right? Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, is what we were joking with, but just going for what he wanted to do in his production company. And it sounds like Brady's choosing ownership. Now, broadcasting, he did mention Fox multiple times, or he mentioned broadcasting multiple times. But he sounded like he wants to be an owner in the NFL.
Awesome.
And it does not sound like he at all is talking football, thinking football. The door seems shut.
Yeah.
Until it's not.
Well, I know you keep saying that, but I don't know. This does like not sound like a guy who's eating and living it and breathing it, and he's kind of enjoying not.
No, because the first time in his life he's had an off season, where he hasn't been grinding, throwing. The guy brings his shoulder pads on vacation.
Yes,
you know, he's just kind of enjoying. He's like getting another cat. That's kind of weird, but hey.
Well, I mean, listen, you don't have a baby girl. That's the end of that.
That's true.
Honestly, Taylor knows. My daughter knows. You know.
You'll do whatever.
I'm wrapped.
Says.
Oh yeah, I'm wrapped. Yeah. And so, like Brady's career, it seems, and a football playing career, also. I can't let him down. If I'm going to go on this TB12 system, I got to go on. I got to really do it.
Well, it's not just like, hey, a month before the run, get on it. It's a lifestyle change. Look at Del Tufo.
I know that.
Del Tufo's made a lifestyle
change.
Although, hold on a second.
His initial, you know, foray back and forth prior to him saying this on in front of everybody was a 6 week, like 6 weeks before hop on it. Which is something I think I can commit to that.
6 weeks.
I could commit to that.
Coffee out.
I don't even know. So let me take a sip.
Coffee out.
Coffee out, Rich.
Milk.
I know.
Red out.
I'm gonna.
Oh yeah, the red. That's right.
The lifestyle change.
And okay. That's for next. That's a 2024 thing.
I mean, you got the rest of this year.
About that.
Yeah. Right, it's first day of June. And we're in the middle of 2023.
Okay.
And 98 days before the beginning of the playing season. And this is the third. And I don't know if you caught this too, TJ, in the conversation when I brought up Rodgers and he thinks he's going to be successful in New York, and reinvigorated by having a new team and proving himself again, which is what obviously Brady went down to Tampa to do. And he says that it's, you know, something he believes Rodgers is going to be successful in New York. And I'm not picking up on that because I'm a 53-year-old cheerleader with a lot of ish going on. Right. But what I picked up on is he said he was talking about a tough division. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was the Bills. The Jets are a good team. The Dolphins are a very good team.
And
then hold on. Help me with that last one.
Was it the other team?
How long was that pause before he mentioned the Patriots?
It seemed like a minute. I got to be honest.
How long was the pause? Did you pick up the...
No, absolutely not.
Did you pick up the dead air?
Put the green pom-poms down.
I almost jumped in and said, Tom, it's called for England.
I thought it froze, Rich, to be honest with you. Like,
he can't, Rich.
It was just like the screen froze.
Here's the difference of many between you and Tom Brady. Not a cheerleader for his favorite team. He's got to come off as objective. He is getting in the mold.
He said he's going to give you good. He's hoping to bring good luck to the Patriots in week one.
He's
by showing up in person. What are you talking about?
He can't go out there and be like, we're going to beat them by 40, obviously. Like, he's got to be objective.
He's an ambassador.
He is an ambassador. He is going to be a member of the media in a year.
But he's not yet.
So he has to he has to practice.
I did
he has
set
to get
up
those mental reps in. He can't just be out there being like, look, Mac's going to be MVP, Bill's back, we're going back to the Super Bowl. He can't do that.
I did set up the question as if, like, hey, I'll put some turn you into a pundit right here. Mm-hmm. How do you think Rodgers is going to do and play deep into his 40s?
He answered that immediately.
And so you know, my that was a me question because I hope Rodgers isn't one and done.
That's the Rich
Eisen. Okay, so I asked the question, and then he, you know, gives a very thoughtful answer. And do we have it? Let's see. We're not going to put a clock on it, but, you know, you can kind of stamp your foot
Mona Lisa Vito a couple times before he gets to that one.
Like
right?
I said, I thought the feed went
okay,
out.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Division is very competitive with Buffalo, with the Jets. I think Miami's a talented team. And obviously New England, you know, with the amazing culture that they've built over a long period of time. So,
yep.
Aaron. That's like 35 seconds right there.
No, I don't think 35 seconds, but long enough.
Do you want him to be noticeable? Obvious and overt? I mean, come on.
Meaning what?
Guy's a professional. Look, as a trained actor, we can recognize other trained actors. And so what he's doing now is just doing the thing to just make people think, stir up buzz. Yeah. He wants to create. He wants you to think that he had a good time and a good experience. Yes. He wants us to get some clicks like, oh, Tom Paul.
Oh, yeah, clicks. So, that's like, what he's looking for.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
I respect it.
All right. So here we go.
School of acting.
Here we go. Week 8.
Woo.
No, it's not week 8. No, it's week 6 early on. Maybe Brady will be an official minority owner of the Raiders by week 6 when New England visits Las Vegas, Nevada at LV.
I'll be there.
He could be
there
starting.
There you go. Game. Sunday, October 15th, right in the middle of the 10th month of our calendar year. Right there.
I saw some stuff going around, too, that if he becomes owner, he's going to have to admit it was a fumble. Like, come on. Like, Tom's going to do that.
He's going to admit it was a fumble.
He already did.
No, he didn't.
In that, he absolutely did in that show that he did with Charles. But his point was, that's not the rule.
That wasn't the rule.
Right. Yeah. So now they're going to get him to
hold on a second. Honestly, Tom Brady did not fumble the ball in that playoff game according to the rules of the National Football League at the time. 1,000,000%.
Ah, there it is.
That was a fumble based on pre-tuck rule and current rules of the game. If this happened in 2023 instead of 2001, I mean,
you call the fumble game, not the snow game.
Or 2002, I guess. Right? I mean, end of story.
The snow game.
But the whole idea is that the Patriots would not have become the Patriots without it. Now, that's the question.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think Bill would have gone back to Bledsoe if Brady and the Patriots were one and done, right?
No.
Not after this.
No.
I don't think so either.
That team was stacked.
No, but hey, don't forget, you know, Bill saying he was sticking with Brady instead of going with Bledsoe was huge at the time, Chris. Don't forget that.
Oh, very huge.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and that if that was a
that was still
if
the
there
era
was it
of...
if that was it and Gruden moves on and Brady goes home, does Bill in the offseason say I'll go back to Bledsoe?
Were they
that's been the whole question about this whole thing.
They probably still trade Drew, I'm guessing.
So. But that said, great chat with Tom Brady, who is done and also is going to try and make me faster. And in his first appearance here on the Rich Eisen Show, giving some opinions about the AFC East, he's talking about the Bills, Jets, Dolphins, and
the team up that's in on the map. It's
same
the
intensity.
Right, you mean
same
the team?
Intensity.
You mean the team that's been your daddy for 50 years?
Oh, daddy,
oh, like, come
for
on,
50 oh, years.
Come on, dude.
Excuse me. Daddy's now home in Miami. Father. Okay, daddy's home. That's where the daddy is. No, all right, pal. Steve Grogan was nobody's daddy. Okay,
Steve,
pal,
Grogan.
Get out of here with that noise. We'll take a break. DeAndre Hopkins news, people. DeAndre Hopkins
to the Cowboys.
News. No. Maybe the state of Texas.
Oh,
we're back with that here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Do you not believe the Tuck rule was appropriately applied as it was written in the rule book?
I do not. I watch the news a lot. You know, a lot of times you'll have, you know, two economists on television, and they'll be talking about their economy. One will say the economy is doing great, mm-hmm. and one will say it's in the tank. But you're like, oh, these are economists. They both have the same facts and figures, same numbers. How can they have differences of opinion, right? 2 + 2 = 4. In our case, 2 + 2 mm-hmm. is still 4, but they added one. So 2 + 2 = 5. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they were able to add their own interpretation into it. So they took a play, 2 + 2 = 4, mm-hmm. a fumble. They added their own interpretation and made it into an incomplete pass. So if me and you were in the court of law, mm-hmm. and you're arguing that his arm was going forward, I would say, well, show me the part where his arm's going forward. You would show the tape, you see his arm going forward, and then you'd bring it back. And then I say, well, tell me, when did he fumble? Did he fumble while his arm was going forward? And you would have to tell me, no. He brought it when he brought it back into his body. Hence the tuck rule, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So was he bringing it back into his body, or was it into his body? So there's a technicality to it.
Hey, look.
So he wasn't bringing the ball back into his body. When I hit him, he had it, both hands on the ball. It's in his body. He ain't bringing it back into his body. It's a fumble. 2 + 2 = 4, unless you add one. See, and then it's 5.
See, I thought you meant 2 + 2 = 5 because that's how many Super Bowls Tom Brady has won.
I like that. I can dig it. I love the fact that he's won 5 Super Bowls. I'm happy, and I'm actually happy for him. This guy.
How many times have I said that to you, this guy? It's the best.
Guy.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We just showed Charles Woodson talking about the Tuck game in the 2000, or snow game, pardon me.
Rich, come on. It's a snow game.
At our Super Bowl of the 2018 season in Atlanta, where Brady beat the Rams.
Yeah, he only has 5 Super Bowls at that point.
I know, and then he had 6. I know.
It's insane.
I know.
He gets
2 more.
It's nuts.
Hey. The goat. Tuck rule is, let me just make it about me, because that's what I do here on this program. I helped get rid of that damn thing.
You did.
The number of times I brought it up on NFL Network over and over and over and over, and whenever I spoke to Pereira and whatever. Yep. Pereira is like the Tuck rule, he said, removes the gray area from when somebody decides to bring the ball down or throw it. And I'm like, actually, it's the exact opposite. It creates a gray area. When somebody's bringing a ball down and no longer throwing it, that is as great an indication that he doesn't intend to throw it anymore and he's running it. They changed the tuck rule. Thank goodness. A stupid ass rule. But it came in huge, and it was a proper call.
Of course it was. Yeah.
A million percent. Same thing with the Dez.
Great official.
Yeah. Caught it. A proper call.
No, that was not proper.
It was a proper call.
You'll never sell me on that.
It was a proper call.
Yeah.
It was properly
based on the way, yep. Based on the way of the rule book.
At the time.
Yeah. That there was no such thing. They didn't take into account remarkable athletes like Dez Bryant who can take 2 steps to gain 10 yards while falling down and also reach the ball out to try and break the plane of the goal. And at the time, you know, stuff like that, and Calvin Johnson using the ball to try and keep himself from falling down to the ground after scoring a touchdown, that was ruled incomplete. Stupid. Got rid of it. But at the time, it was the right call. There's no doubt about it.
I'm going to argue that forever.
DJ. Let's go to Terzo in Iowa. All rise. What's going on, Terzo? How are you, sir?
Rich, man, that was a great interview with Brady, man. That was fun to listen to.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. That was very, very, very clone-like of you to say. I appreciate it, and I will accept it. Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I got a couple things for you, Rich. I'm pretty happy to hear Purdy's back on the field throwing the ball. You know, everybody's saying that it's pretty accurate. I'm happy to hear that. Still just a little concerned about him not getting Tommy John, but the doctors are the doctors, and you got to listen to their opinion.
Well, does that mean your concern means, let me make sure I get this number right, your attempt at telling me how many wins and losses the Niners are going to have, as you did back in 3 weeks ago, 12-5? You don't think it's a 12-5 season?
12-5. No, I don't think I'm too concerned about the record. I think that I'm happy with my picks there, okay. Rich. But typically, though, when people have this injury, they usually do Tommy John. And I think it's because it's been proven throughout baseball that it makes that that nerve and ligament stronger. So okay. I'm just a little nervous, but I'm still sticking with where we're at and how we're going to finish the season.
Okay, brother, is that's all that's on your mind today? Very good.
Well, I got a little bit of NBA for you too, my man.
Okay, what's on your mind on that front, Terzo?
Well, this is one I hate hearing when people say the teams don't have anything to lose. They're playing with house money. Well, they do have something to lose. You have the NBA Finals to lose. And so that's why I'm not taking anything away from the Heat, because Jimmy Butler, you're not going to tell me that he's not been sitting at home being like, I know we're going to get there. We're going to do this. So that competitive spirit, I just don't think he can take it away from him.
Nope, and I appreciate the call. Thanks, Terzo. You know, house money, when somebody says they're playing with house money, it means, you know, you've already won. Pretty much, you're just taking the money that you've already won and gambling it. You haven't lost anything by gambling the money that you're playing. And what that means is, as Terzo's saying, the Heat aren't going to look at this opportunity and say, you know, we got here. This is all good. So if we lose, we lose. No big deal. No, they are clearly understanding what's at stake for them, and what's at stake for Jimmy Butler is an opportunity to put a Hall of Fame resume together with a W here. No question about that. And Eric Spoelstra, we're already talking about how he is officially out of Pat Riley's shadow nationally. He might have already been there in South Florida, but he wins this thing, and then we'll start talking about Spo going to the Hall along with the rest of all the players he's helping get there. There's no question about that. You know, another ring for Kevin Love, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just keep going down and down. All those guys who have gone from undrafted to part of a team, and then also at stake in terms of the Miami Heat winning is me getting out of the don't break up the 2020 bubble Heat for Giannis Antetokounmpo, breaking out of that.
Yeah.
Take prison that I have been incarcerated in.
Like your Andy Dufresne?
Oh, yeah. This is it. I'm breaking out of Shawshank if the Heat win this.
Wow.
I'm breaking out of Take Shawshank.
Wow.
Take Shawshank.
Shawtank Redemption. That's what's at stake.
Oh, Take Redemption.
Oh, yeah. Take Redemption. That starts tonight. Hey, I've got no... I've nothing against the Nuggets, because I like Michael Malone's been on this program. I like him. I like watching Jokic. I root. They're all likable guys. There's nobody on that team that rubs you the wrong way at all, you know. And I know great people from the great state of Colorado. They'll be happy.
You don't want to upset Jokic's brothers.
I also don't want to upset Jokic's brothers. And the fan base is now turned into Jokic's brothers. They're like, wait a minute, you're saying they're boring? Wait a minute, they're picking up. They're smelling any disrespect. They're disrespect smellers right now. They're like bloodhounds on the scent of disrespect. Nuggets fans are angry that they're not respected. Well, then go win it. Go win it. Win a finals in which you are favored to win it. Fine. But if the Heat win. The team that I said do not break up for Giannis Antetokounmpo would have as many championships as Giannis Antetokounmpo himself. This is great. That's at stake too.
Your reputation.
Especially if Tyler Hero, who I identified as one of those young studs, don't give up for Giannis. Don't send him to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. You want him. Especially if he comes back from injury and helps make this moment possible. Oh, yeah. So
Am I the red or am I the, you're saying I'm the Dufresne of this thing?
You're Andy, I think.
I'm Andy? Yeah, okay. Andy. So I might be on the beach 2 weeks from now, right?
Maybe.
Unless that's a dreamlike ending. I don't know. Elijah Moore coming up.